KOIN in Portland, CBS News is next.
CBS News. A tentative agreement has been reached in efforts to resolve the budget crisis which is causing serious problems in New York City. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mayor Abraham Bee met until late Wednesday night with state leaders in Albany. The state reportedly will permit the city to impose up to $300 million in new taxes. The mayor, meanwhile, says some sanitation trucks will be out on the streets in the morning. A wildcat walkout by garbage collectors angry at firings and cutbacks has left about 35 tons of garbage piled up on city streets. Officials in Pennsylvania have obtained injunctions to halt a strike by state employees. An estimated 50,000 workers are staying off their jobs in a dispute over a pay raise. More news in a moment.
Easy day, settle back, pop a cap, bang on the big unexpected beer.
Michelob, it's an unexpected pleasure, and it's been that way ever since Anheuser-Busch rolled out the first Michelob barrel in 1896.
Bang on the great taste of Michelob, the unexpected pleasure,
the great taste of Michelob,
the unexpected pleasure.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Sorry, lady, I can't fix your sink until tomorrow.
My dinner party is tonight.
I can't help it. I gotta order the parts.
Oh, isn't there anything you can do?
Yeah, I'll have to shut the water off.
Shut the water off?
Simple nervous tension. Simple nervous tension. Now turn it down with Quiet World tablets. The calmative with pain relievers and two gentle relaxants for hours of relief. Take only as directed. Quiet World tablets ease the aches and that tense feeling to help turn down occasional simple nervous tension.
The NAACP has ended its annual convention in Washington. Delegates spent the final day discussing economic issues. Treasury Secretary William Simon spoke, and he said the recession has complicated the problem of economic discrimination.
We must never forget that before this recession began, millions of blacks were in economic trouble, and that one of the basic causes of the trouble was economic discrimination. As the recovery progresses, blacks may remain in trouble unless we reverse the patterns and habits of the past. We obviously have a long way to go.
Simon also said that as long as the recession lasts, government social programs will be affected. President Ford on Thursday will make a trip to Ohio, partly for business and partly for politics. The president will travel to Cincinnati to dedicate a new environmental center. Later he goes to Cleveland for a speech to a regional White House conference. During the evening, Mr. Ford speaks to a Republican fundraising affair in Cleveland. The president on Wednesday signed the housing bill into law. The measure allows the government to continue subsidizing home mortgages and to expand the program. The housing program makes it possible for people to buy homes at lower interest rates than would otherwise be available. The UN Women's Conference has ended in Mexico City. Delegates from third world countries have pushed through a controversial declaration. George Natanson has a report from Mexico City.
Political dissension once again disrupted the conference during its closing hours before final adjournment. Heated debate throughout the afternoon and early evening centered around the inclusion of the word Zionist in a document known as the Declaration of Mexico. The declaration accompanies the conference's plan of action, which had been adopted by consensus. While the declaration contains much the same recommendations to improve the situation of women, it is significant for its political implications. The inclusion of the word Zionist, which passed by a simple majority, puts the conference on record as calling for the elimination of imperialism, colonialism, foreign occupation, racism, apartheid, and Zionism. The U.S. delegation had argued that the use of the word Zionist associates the conference with a campaign against Israel. On the other hand, the word sexist had previously been voted down in this woman's conference for inclusion in the document. George Natanson for CBS News in Mexico City.
Serious rain damage continues to mount in North Dakota and Minnesota. Losses to the sugar beet crop alone could run as high as $120 million. Now this.
George III, George Washington, John Adams, Adam Smith, Captain James Cook, Major General Sir William Howe, Beaumarchais, Vergennes, Louis XVI, Garrick, Gibbon, Mozart, Catherine the Great, John Hancock, Tories, Whigs, and the Sons of Liberty. They're all in Time Magazine's special bicentennial issue on the world and the week of July 4th, 1776. The first printing was sold out, but this most popular issue of Time ever published is now back on newsstands everywhere. Pick up a copy today. It has Thomas Jefferson on the cover.
There's a little little town in western Pennsylvania called Oil City, where they make peace of mind for car owners. Quaker State Motor Oil. They refine it from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, the world's choicest. Then they fortify it to protect your engine against heat and rust and dirt and wear. Quaker State, the number one selling motor oil. Who says you can't buy peace of mind?
Quaker State, your car. We keep it running. We keep it running.
All news reports coming out of India remain censored by the government of that country, but dispatches from New Delhi say that travelers and political foes of Prime Minister Indira Gandhi report killings by police, along with sabotage and anti-government protests in three states. Mrs. Gandhi on Wednesday launched a crackdown on so-called economic crimes. She also accused opposition parties of trying to ruin Indian democracy. Doug Poling, CBS News.
The Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers says its local 657 and California Paperboard Company of Santa Clara, California, negotiated a new contract in just 7 days. The agreement was reached without either side making a notification of contract termination. The agreement, covering about 80 union members, provides for pay increases of 11% each year of the two-year contract. Two Japanese warships are scheduled for a visit to Portland next month. The training destroyer Katuri and destroyer Yamagumo of the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force will make the visit July 14th to the 18th. It will be the first visit to Portland by Japanese Defense Forces since 1960. The port of Coos Bay will conduct an election August 5th to seek approval of an $850,000 bond issue to finance diking of a deep channel project. The channel widening will be done with more than $14 million in federal funds if Congress approves. The House has passed the measure. The Army Corps of Engineers requires that diking funds be raised locally for such channel projects. Taking a look at sports in the National League, Cincinnati 4, Houston 3, Philadelphia 5, St. Louis 3, Atlanta 6, San Francisco nothing, New York Mets 7, Chicago Cubs 2. Pittsburgh at Montreal was postponed because of rain, and I have no final yet on the Los Angeles-San Diego game. In the American League, in the first game, Boston 6, Milwaukee 3. Second game, Milwaukee 4, Boston 3. Cleveland 3, New York Yankees 2. Baltimore 13, Detroit 5. Minnesota 9, California 4. Chicago White Sox 5, Oakland 4. And 10 innings, Kansas City 7, Texas 5. In PCL action, Spokane 3, Hawaii 2. That was a doubleheader with those two teams, and I have no results on the second game. John Helfrich drove in three runs with a pair of doubles tonight to give Portland a 9-2 Northwest League baseball victory over Eugene at Eugene. Helfrich broke open the game in the second inning with a line drive to left field, scoring Rich Miley and Jerry Kraft. Eugene scored one of its runs in the second inning and one in the fourth. Steve Lakey had three hits for Portland, including a homer and a triple. The weather forecast for the Portland-Vancouver area, mostly cloudy with slight chance of a shower tonight and Thursday, becoming partly cloudy on Friday. Lows at night in the mid-50s, warmer days with the highs in the mid-70s tomorrow, near 80 on Friday. Chance of measurable rain, 20% tonight through tomorrow and tomorrow night. The temperature right now in downtown Portland stands at 61 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1109. I'm Bill Garrity.
It's better to be 55.
In some ways it is.
You wouldn't want to be 19. You wouldn't want to be back there.
Back where?
Listen.
Grow up, Bill. Please, grow up.
I have grown up, and I don't like it.
Like it or not, you've got to live with it.
That's where you're wrong. I don't have to live with it. You don't have to live with it either. Come back with me.
Excuse me, just due to an error that has started in the middle of the beginning of the segment of Mystery Theater, and let me find out what has happened, and we'll get that at the beginning.
Thank you. CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, conductor of this occult omnibus, which stops at your station 7 times each week. It is said of some people that they live in the past, but of course we know this isn't true. Nobody can actually, genuinely, physically live in the past. Yes, it's possible to spend one's life in reverie, in daydream, but live in the past? That's incredible. You can only live in the present. And the present is a vehicle that can only travel in one direction, forward, into the future. At least, that's what we've been led to believe.
You wouldn't want to be 19 again?
No, I wouldn't want to be 19 again.
It's better to be 55?
In some ways it is.
You wouldn't want to be 19? You wouldn't want to be back there?
Back where?
Listen.
Bill, please, grow up.
I have grown up, and I don't like it.
Like it or not, you've got to live with it.
That's where you're wrong. I don't have to live with it. You don't have to live with it either. Come back with me.
Back where?
We can be 19 again.
You're crazy.
There's a key. I found the key.
Bill, please.
Zelda, I've got the key. I know how to go back. Come back, Zelda. Come back with me.
Our mystery drama, Come Back With Me, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Howard Da Silva. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way. But then, nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world. But it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself. Loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beer is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis. God we trust. America speaks. In the words of John F. Kennedy, the torch has been passed to a new generation, born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history, the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
City is a living organism, and because every living thing must one day die, the city must die too. Like the human beings who build it, the city has its periods of youth, maturity, and old age. The city dies by degrees, a house here, a street there, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, The boarded-up, shuttered buildings stand empty, decayed, deserted, dead. But that part of the city which still lives continues to go through the motions. It sends water through the mains, electric current to illuminate the streetlights, and police cruisers on their slow patrols. Tonight, Officer Tom Bergen suddenly stiffens to attention behind the wheel of his car and loosens the strap of his holster. Just up ahead, a man is walking slowly along the sidewalk. And anyone out here this time of the night had better be questioned.
Are you okay, sir?
Something wrong, officer?
I know, sir.
So then why have you stopped me?
I didn't stop you.
I'm walking along the street, minding my own affairs, and you accost me as if I were a common criminal.
I already asked you if something was wrong.
Why should something be wrong?
Well, sir,
Is this some sort of search and seizure? Or stop and frisk, as you might call it?
Now, look, sir, you see a person out alone at night in this neighborhood.
But what's wrong with this neighborhood?
What's wrong with this neighborhood?
Is there a better neighborhood in the entire city, in the whole world? You are insulting my neighborhood.
Now, look, sir, I assure you...
You assure me of nothing. You imply that this neighborhood is a hotbed of vice, of crime, eh?
I didn't say that.
That was a nasty insinuation in your voice.
Well, I only wanted to make sure
there's
you...
There's an insult, and it's a fighting insult.
Now, look, you're just getting excited over nothing.
This is my neighborhood, and I'll fight for it. How can man die better than by facing fearful odds for the ashes of his fathers and the temples of his gods? Well, how can he?
I don't believe he can.
Macaulay wrote that. Thomas Babington Macaulay. And when I was a kid, that's what we were taught in high school. They don't teach Horatius the bridge anymore. You know that, don't you?
Well, yeah, I guess they don't.
You know why, don't you? Because it's not relevant. You hear that? It's not relevant. That's a great new word today. Relevant.
Yes, sir. Look, how would you like to...
Honor, duty, respect. These things, they just aren't relevant anymore.
Why don't you get in, mister, and I'll give you a lift home?
And I'm not relevant anymore, either.
Now, look, it's very late, and you look to be a little unsteady on your feet.
Tell me, officer, look me straight in the eye and tell me, what is relevant today?
And like I said, it's very late.
No, it's early. It's very early. The crowd is first starting to get together at Morrissey's.
Morrissey's?
Jack Morrissey's. You mean you're the cop on this beat and you never heard of Jack Morrissey's? Everybody from the neighborhood goes there.
Oh, sure. There used to be a Jack Morrissey's saloon, but you're going back 30, 35 years.
It's here now. Right here.
Look, mister, any minute now it's going to start to rain, so don't you think you
better... It's okay, officer. I'll just go into Morrissey's. See you later.
Sir, you can't go anywhere. That's an old, condemned, boarded-up building.
Oh, you're a pretty good guy for a cop. Come on in. Let me buy you a beer.
Well, where are you going?
Where do you think I'm going? Inside, into Morrissey's.
But there's no such place.
Are you sure you're okay, officer? The joint's jumping. Can't you hear? Can't you hear the music?
No, sir. I don't hear a thing.
Listen. Don't you hear that? On the jukebox.
The jukebox?
Don't you know what a jukebox is?
Yes, sure,
Bob. I got the stuffy old prop, Doc Carberry. One night, the gang of us invite him down here, you know, to see how the people live.
It's starting to rain.
You can hear this jukebox in Morrissey's. You hear how loud it is?
But I don't hear nothing.
Can you believe it? Old Doc had never seen one before. What's that, he asks? It's a jukebox, I answer. Oh, he says, probably named after a member of the Jukes family. You don't get it, huh? Well, in psychology, you study this very retarded family named Jukes.
Look, the rain's beginning to come down very hard.
It's a classical clinical study.
There's nothing there.
Hey, take your hand off me. I said I'm going into Morrissey.
You can't go in there. The building is condemned. You see what the sign said?
I said, take your hand off me.
Now, look here, mister. I can see you're... I don't want to have to use force, but I warn you. Don't you swing at me again.
Let me alone.
Now, come on. I'm going
come
inside
on, come on,
there. No, you're not
let
going
me alone.
Anywhere, mister.
Let me alone, I said.
I'm up.
Yes, you're up.
Zelda, hey, what time is it?
It's almost noon.
Noon? You didn't wake me. I have to be at the office.
Bill, don't get out of bed.
What are you talking about?
Dr. Davis said he wants to see you as soon as you're awake.
What for?
Bill, you don't know what for. What happened last night?
Last night?
A policeman brought you home.
What are you saying?
There it was, midnight. I answered the doorbell and you were practically draped over the policeman's shoulder like a sack of wheat.
You're kidding.
Bill, the cop said he didn't want to book you.
Book me?
For assault. You were obviously disturbed. He felt that treating you like a criminal wasn't the answer. He was a very decent cop.
Zelda, what is all this about?
I must say, in addition to everything else, the publicity could have been the last straw. That's all we would have needed.
Zelda.
Bill, shut up. What were you doing in that deserted, godforsaken neighborhood?
Godforsaken? Don't say that.
Why were you wandering around there?
What? I don't know why.
Bill, I'm trying to hold on.
What was I doing there? I was looking for something.
What?
If I tell you, you'll think I'm crazy.
I think you're crazy now.
I was looking for you and for me.
All right. All right, I was a fool to ask.
You really don't want to know.
I want an intelligent, responsive answer.
I guess you would. Intelligent, responsive answer. You used those words the very first night we met.
Oh, Bill, please, please.
We met in Morrissey's. I fell in love with you at first sight.
Western United Industries is making the offer today. How can you talk about...
How can I talk about love?
Our lives depend on it.
Yes, our lives do depend on
Bill,
love.
Bill, save us. Let them buy us.
You mean sell out?
You can call it whatever you like. It's our only chance to get out of debt, to save something from the wreck.
What wreck?
Now, Norman's had some preliminary discussions with their attorney. It's a fair offer.
I remember. I walked into Morrissey's that night, and I saw you sitting there. You remember the tune that was on the jukebox? Listen
to what?
Can't you hear it? That's Dorsey himself on the trombone.
Bill?
He's gone. But how great he was.
Bill, will you please try to concentrate?
Oh, can't you hear it?
No, I can't hear it.
You didn't have to kill us.
Now, look, Bill. You try to relax. I'll have Dr. Davis come over here right away.
There's no point to it. You want him to convince me to accept some basic facts of life? Well, I accept them. I'll go down there and sign my death warrant.
Why do you have to call it your death warrant?
Because that's what it is.
It is nothing of the sort. You'll still run the company. Hundreds of small businesses have been taken over by big corporations.
I don't want to talk about it.
They still want you to manage it.
I said I'm willing to do it. Why do we have to talk about it? Now let me shave and get dressed and get down to the office.
Wear the new dark suit.
Oh, absolutely. Dark has always been the proper shade for executions.
Taxi!
I'll go to South Broadway in Torrance.
And we're off. Al, don't look too good, does it? Think there's going to be a war?
Well, there has to be a war.
Yeah? What do you mean, has to be?
Yeah, figure it out. Nobody was willing to stop him when it was easy. Who's going to do it now that it's hard? He just keep grabbing and grabbing until nobody will have any choice.
Just who are you talking about?
Who do you think I'm talking about? Who else is there to talk about? Hitler.
Hitler? Oh. Yeah, well,
I guess that sounded crazy to you.
No, not really.
Sometimes I go back.
Oh, well, that's perfectly all right. I go back all the time myself.
Do you?
Oh, I don't know if the old days were better or if it's just that we were younger. I tell you one thing, the music was better. Ah, what great bands they had in them days, huh?
Marie, the dawn is breaking. Marie, you'll soon be waking, Daddy.
Driver.
Huh? Yeah?
I changed my mind. Take me to, 280 LaSalle.
I even remember the number. It's the corner of Tremont.
Oh, yeah. You just made yourself a deal. Hey. You sure you want to go there?
I'm positive.
But that neighborhood, there just ain't nothing. Okay. You're the doctor. Tremont, just off LaSalle.
210. Keep a change.
Hey, you mean you want to get out here?
That's why I came.
Mister, listen, for blocks around, it's deserted. It's all coming down. I mean, you can even hear the wrecking crews. Now, some of these buildings, they got junkies, all kinds of weird characters. It ain't safe.
You know, you're a character. I'm just going into Morrissey's. Check Morrissey's.
Morrissey's?
Yeah, but all the cab drivers seem to be characters. Is it part of the union rules? Can't you hear the music?
Music?
You were just singing it. Hear it?
Well, I tried. But like they say, to each their own.
Well, you look at who's here. Billy Boy himself.
Well, can we say that Morrissey's lives? Let me give you some actual data. Jack Morrissey opened a neighborhood bar in 1933. In 1941, he closed it when he enlisted in the Army. Jack Morrissey was killed in North Africa at the Kasserine Pass in 1942. The place was never reopened. But here we find ourselves as part of the busy, happy crowd at Jack Morrissey's. How do you account for it? Well, you know we account for everything eventually. And part of the accounting will occur when I return in just a few moments with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
United States Navy nurse Kathy Carmack talks about how she joined the Navy.
One of my roommates in school was going to go into the Navy, and she actually was the one that started getting all the literature for me, and I just happened to be a bystander, you know, and just listening when she talked to people and everything, and had no intentions of going into the Navy. But the more I heard about it, I just figured it was the best place for me.
Be a Navy nurse and be something special.
I think it was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed, and I shakily held onto the willows, and we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish, the biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
I would give 1,000 tomorrows, a poet said, for just one of my yesterdays. Well, today is yesterday for Bill Harlow. He has just walked through a door, and almost 35 years have suddenly fallen away. The far away and the long ago has just become the here and the now. Here he is in Morrissey's, where the college crowd hung out. And here are the girls, just as he remembers them, with their hair parted in the middle, high in the front, and curled up at the shoulders. Here are the guys, in sweaters and pleated pants and loafers. And the music. Oh, that music.
Well,
How are you doing, Billy?
I may just enlist.
Oh, now that's a drastic step.
Well, might as well get in there first.
Never be first in anything, Billy. Let some other guy do the spade work. You see what I mean?
Who's around tonight, Jack?
Well, there's your old buddy Norman. Nice dish sitting there with him.
Yeah, very, very nice.
I think she's given you the eye.
No, she belongs to Norman.
A woman belongs to nobody.
What do you want me to do, steal her from my best friend?
He'd steal her from you, wouldn't he?
Hi, folks.
Uh-oh, what are you doing here?
I just fell in love, Norman, with that girl you're sitting with.
Now, what kind of an answer is that?
Well, I think you could call it an intelligent, responsive answer.
Oh, you could, huh?
Absolutely. Intelligent because he shows good taste.
Mm-hmm.
And responsive because it answers the question. What's your name?
Bill Harlow.
Billy, get lost.
My name is Zelda Newsom. Come on, sit down.
Thank you.
Where were you all this time?
And normally, we mustn't let the music die. Put a nickel on the jukebox.
Wait a minute. I thought this was my day.
Anything by Glenn Miller?
They have everything by Glenn Miller. Normie, do the honors.
Yeah, behave yourself with my date, will you?
Well, you didn't answer my question.
Where was I? Oh, I was out there looking for you.
Well, now you found me.
I would like to give you an engagement ring.
Oh, are we engaged?
Sure. Except I don't have one. I could give you my fraternity pin.
But?
I don't belong to a fraternity.
Oh. Well, I'm not sure I could be interested in a pauper.
Oh, I'm not completely without wealth.
Oh, are you a millionaire in disguise?
You see this?
And what is that supposed to be?
It's not supposed to be anything. It is.
Yes?
Now, the average person would look at this and say it's just a little black pebble.
But it is.
This is a small stone. See how highly polished it is?
Uh-huh.
From the tomb of King Tut.
I am impressed.
You should be. It's my most precious possession.
I'll keep it always.
Shall we dance?
My old buddy officer, Tom Bergen. How come you ain't made chief, huh?
Hey, what are you doing in this godforsaken neighborhood?
I'm trying to get out of it.
How'd you get into it?
I had a bear.
You mean somebody wanted to come down here?
Will you believe it? I had a guy wanted to go to LaSalle Corner Tremont.
Next week that joint ain't gonna exist. The Rackers ball is gonna label.
Oh, wait a minute. This was a genuine 18-carat nut. Take me to Morris,
Wait a sec. A tall guy, kind of distinguished looking, a little bit gray.
Yeah, that's right. The guy looked legit. He points to this building that's falling apart. That's Morrissey's, he says, just like it was a live swinging joint, and then he walked.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for telling me.
I'd have a couple of beers, Jack, for me and my girl.
Your girl, huh? She come in here with Norman, and I say Norman's gone home.
Well, I would have done the same for him.
What is this gift you got with the girls, Billy?
Well, what can I tell you? You have to be born with it, or you do without.
Ah, Billy, she's just another dame.
You're telling me.
I think that Norman was gone on her.
She made the choice.
I hope he forgives you.
Normie and I, we're like brothers. Blood brothers.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he wasn't sore when he left.
Oh, I seen that big smile of his. But you never know how a guy's taking it inside.
Oh, come on, Jack.
A guy himself may not even know how he's taking it. Like, it may be boiling away deep down where he don't know it. And then maybe 10, 20, even 30 years from now, he could suddenly make you pay the price.
I could stand here and be enriched by your wisdom forever, Jack, but the most beautiful girl in the world is sitting there at the table waiting for me.
Well, what was that earnest conversation you were having with mine host, Jack Morrissey?
Oh, just man-to-man conversation.
Tell me about it.
Do you mean I have to tell you absolutely everything?
Absolutely.
Well, Zelda. Zelda, what is it? What's happening to us? What?
Hey, Mr. Honnell.
Zelda? Zelda? She's gone.
Hey, Mr. Honnell.
Morrissey's gone. It's all gone. Where did he go?
Look, Mr. Honnell, you can't stay here.
It was all here. Jack Morrissey's. Don't you understand?
You don't want to get yourself into trouble, Mr. Harlow.
It was here, July 30th, 1939, the night I met Zelda. She was Norman's date.
Yeah, sure, 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 but...
Don't you patronize me.
No, I won't. I'll tell you straight out. You imagined it.
I didn't. It was real.
Okay, so it was real to you. So is the dream. But you wake up and the dream is gone, right? And now this is gone, too.
Yes, it's gone.
Well, we better be getting out of here. This place is dangerous.
Morrissey's dangerous?
Yeah, the buildings are being knocked down on all sides, and the vibrations could... come on.
Yes, yes, officer, I'll come along quietly. And the policeman is your best friend. That's what my mother used to tell me. Do mothers tell that to their kids today?
I wouldn't know, sir.
No, I wouldn't know either. We never had kids, Zelda and I. Maybe if we'd had them, it might have been different.
Yeah, well, come on. I think we better go now.
Yeah. Wait.
Well, what's the matter?
Look.
Where?
On the floor. That little stone. The little black stone.
So, okay, what about it?
Here. Hey, look at it. It's the stone I just gave to Zelda. This is it. This is the exact same stone.
Now, look, Mr. Harlow.
On July 30th, 1939, in this place, I gave a girl named Zelda Newsom a little black stone. And here it is. How do you account for it?
I don't know. I can't account for anything. All I know is that this joint's been deserted for years, and the law says no trespassing. So do we go?
All right. Let's go. Hello, Zelda. Norman?
Bill?
Is that all you can say, hello? What are you doing here at home?
Well, it's obvious. I've been listening to one of my favorite records.
Turn that thing off.
It used to be your favorite record, too.
Now, please, Bill, do you mind? We have some serious matters to discuss.
Oh, we certainly do. We certainly do, Zelda. That night we met, I gave you a stone, remember?
Norman and I waited for you at the office. The man from United Western Industries was there.
You don't remember that little black stone, Zelda?
Bill, excuse me, I have to say this. You did not create a favorable impression.
You said you'd always keep the stone.
Fortunately, I think we saved the situation.
Don't be so modest, Norman. You saved the situation.
Why didn't you keep the stone, Zelda?
I don't know what stone you're talking about.
Listen to us. And less than an hour ago, we spoke to each other with such love. We were so thrilled. We were so excited by each other's presence.
Less than an hour ago. You are crazy.
We did. We met for the first time. You don't want to remember.
Bill, will you please, please concentrate? I am trying to tell you, Norman worked out the deal.
Did you, Norman?
Yes. You see, Zelda and I...
Oh, Zelda and you.
Yes,
huh?
We have worked very closely on it for a long time, Norman and I.
Norman and you.
Yes,
huh?
Norman and I. Yeah. It had to be Norman and me. Who else would have kept the business alive?
You've been very close with Norman, haven't you, huh?
Just what does that mean?
Well, maybe you think you made the wrong choice back there in Morrissey.
Maybe she did. I'd better go now.
No, stay.
Would you have been happier with Norman? Sober, steady, reliable Norman?
Disregard all of this, Norman. We have to discuss what happened today while you weren't there, Bill.
Now, Bill, look. You'll still be president of the company.
That's nice.
But...
Ah, the but.
I become chief executive officer in charge of operations.
I see. Well, you know what it proves. Jack Morrissey was right.
Now, what are you saying?
Poor Norman. You kept it bottled up all these years, but you never forgave me, and today you buried the knife.
Bill, I didn't want the job.
Oh, I bet you kicked and screamed.
Won't you try to understand? It's the only deal United Western will accept.
But I don't accept it.
Do you want to know the truth, Bill? The awful, terrible truth? They don't have to give us any kind of deal at all. They can wait a year until you go bankrupt and then just move in and pick up the pieces.
You really don't remember the stone, Zelda?
Can't we have a sensible conversation?
You're getting off lucky, Bill.
Am I? Why?
The truth is, you don't know how to run a company in today's market.
That's true. I believe in quality.
Yes, you justify yourself with that word, quality. but quality is a thing of the past. It costs money. People refuse to pay for it.
As long as I run this company...
When did you ever run this company? I carried you.
Shut up.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm going back to the office, and you should go back, too. We have to meet with the United Western people.
Well, you sure spoke your piece, didn't you? Huh?
Oh, Bill. You were a big, friendly boy with the gift of gab. But after a while, it all wore a bit thin. Goodbye.
You better go back to the office.
Yes, let's go back. But not to the office. Let's go back to Jack Morrissey's.
Jack Morrissey is dead and gone. And you and I can't do the Lindy anymore.
We were happy. We were so happy.
Because we were children. You never wanted to grow up, accept responsibility.
Wouldn't you like to go back to when we were really in love?
You're still a kid, and you still ask a child's questions.
But I've gone back. Once again, I felt that thrill. The thrill I knew the night we met.
You even sound like a song of 30 years ago.
I saw how you looked. You didn't have a line on your face, a doubt in your heart, a worry in your head.
Please, Bill, go to the office. Salvage something.
I have to go back. I can't live here anymore.
What do you mean by here?
The present.
The present is all we have. The future never comes and the past is dead.
This time I won't let anybody break into it. I'll know how to hold on to it. Come back with me, Zelda. Come back.
It was Albert Einstein who said, "The past, the present, and the future are all mixed up. You can go forward in time, and you can go backward in time." Exactly how is not crystal clear, but the theoretical possibilities are accepted by science. Backed by such assurances, we can certainly give Bill Harlow a little bit of credence, can't we? I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Telling us to be careful with fire for over 30 years. Yet last year, we still started over 100,000 careless forest fires. When will we ever learn? A public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
Promise of youth. Who has seen it fulfilled? Not most of us, that's for sure. And so, maturity becomes a matter of more or less graceful reconciliation between the dreams of the boy and the realities of the man. We say more or less gracefully to describe the reconciliation, because while there are people who accept failure with very little grace, at least they do accept it. Then we have Bill Harlow, who refuses to accept it at all.
Come back there with me, Zelda. Zelda, you and I, we're still there. We're still sitting in Jack Morrissey's. We never left.
Bill, how can we be sitting in Jack Morrissey's if we're sitting here?
I don't know, but I was there an hour ago. I think of how beautiful you looked. It breaks my heart.
Bill, it won't work. We're what we are now, what the last 35 years have made us.
No.
You simply cannot accept life.
That's not life. That's death.
Death is also a part of life.
Please come back.
To Jack Morrissey's.
Yes.
Where you can still get a big glass of beer for a dime, and you can dance all night, and there's no gray in your hair, and only love in your heart, and all the world is friendship and music. Was that the only time in your life that you were really happy?
Is it a crime to want to hold on to happiness?
No. It isn't a crime. It's a delusion, but it isn't a crime.
We can go back.
I don't want to hear any more about it.
But I can prove it. I've got the proof.
You go back to your office and you grow up.
Zelda, I said I could prove
it. You go to the office, or I'll walk out on you right now.
Zelda!
I mean it.
Oh.
Come on in, Norman. What's on your mind?
Bill, I... well, excuse me, the reorganization and... Well, it was decided that this would become my office.
Oh, then I'd better get out of here right away, huh?
Oh, there's really no hurry. I mean, no. Take a few days.
Sure.
Bill, look, I'm sorry we had those words back at your apartment.
We never really were friends, were we, Norman?
I don't know what you're talking about.
And now you're getting back at me for everything.
Now, Bill, I know we can work together and justify the faith that the new management has in us.
Oh, that's a terrific speech, Norman. Terrific. Precise, pungent, and pithy. Well, which one of us answers it? This is now your office, but it's probably for me.
Oh, come on.
Yes?
Mr. Harlow?
Yeah?
You're expected to meet with the United Western people in the conference room in 20 minutes along with Mr. Hollis. And, oh, your wife is here.
Thank you, Miss Bain. Send the dear girl in. So, you and I are going to meet with the new management and they'll ask questions. And they'll see how bright you are and how stupid I am.
Bill, that is ridiculous.
Is that how you set it up?
Set what up?
Oh, it's nothing.
That's right, nothing. It's just old Bill being paranoid again.
I've got to get some figures together. I'll see you in the conference room.
Bill, I know it's hard. It's hard for you to work with Norman as... Well, on an adult level, to accept him as an equal. Brilliant Bill plodding Norman. But you need each other.
You mean you really don't remember the stone, Zelda?
The stone. King Tut's royal stone.
Then why did you pretend?
Maybe I wanted to forget.
Why?
Because so much has happened to us.
Zelda.
But don't try to rake it up, Bill.
Let's have it out.
All right. All right. Let's talk. About Marie.
I was never in love with Marie.
That didn't make it any easier for me.
I thought we agreed to forget about Marie.
I never said I would forget Marie. I only agreed not to let her break up our marriage.
Zelda, she was the only one in all these years.
Oh, the only one? Well, I think that calls for some sort of medal.
How long did it last? A couple of months?
And what's a couple of months in a lifetime, hmm?
You promised you'd never forget that stone.
Oh, yes, the stone. That was the day I learned I had an associate.
Zelda.
Another partner in my marriage. You know what I did with that funny little black stone? Which you said came from King Tut's tomb.
Well, it really didn't.
Oh, I always knew that. I went for a walk on the Starrett Street Bridge. And I stopped at the rail over at the middle of the river. And had a wild idea to throw myself off the bridge. But I threw the stone instead. And by now, it sunk deep into the riverbed. Under 100 feet of water. So you see, it's gone.
Zelda, If we could get that stone back.
Oh, sure.
That stone. The stone I gave you the night we met. The night it began for us.
That stone is gone. It's gone forever. It's gone beyond recall.
No.
Bill, you have to grow up. You have to accept it. Because the stone is like the past. Dead. Buried. You cannot bring it back.
I have brought it back.
Oh, Bill, please.
Look. Look here. Look at what I have in my hand. Take it.
What is it?
You know what it is.
That can't be the stone.
You remember. You took it to a jeweler. You had our initials engraved on it. B-Z.
You found another stone just like it.
Hold it. Look at it. Feel it. It's the stone. Our stone.
I threw it off the Starrett Street Bridge. Nobody could ever find it.
But I went back and found it before you threw it away. I went back to the night of July 30th, 1939.
You couldn't.
We were 19 years old.
I don't believe it.
We're still 19 years old. Come with me. I'll prove it. We're in Jack Morrissey's at the corner of LaSalle and Tremont, and we're 19.
It's impossible.
Listen, don't you hear the jukebox? It's playing the slow tune. Let's go back. Let's be 19 again.
But...
it's another chance. It's another chance to live another life, and this time I'll know better. This time I won't waste it. This time I'll grow up. Don't you want to be 19 again?
I'm afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of. What were we afraid of when we were 19? We didn't know what the word meant.
It's gone. The neighborhood, it's all gone.
Hurry, we're not supposed to go into the building.
Why?
Because, it doesn't matter. Here, this is it.
This was Jack Morrissey.
It still is, inside. Now, let's duck in quickly, before we're seen.
I'm afraid to go in there.
Why? Hurry, before somebody comes along.
It's a crazy-looking building. It looks as if it'll fall apart any minute.
Come on in.
But can't you see there's nobody inside?
There isn't? Listen. Do you hear it?
I...
What are we waiting for? It's July 30th, 1939, and we're about to meet for the first time. You see that table near the wall? That's where you were sitting with Norman. Go there. I'll join you in a minute.
Well, well, well. It's Billy the bridegroom.
And how's married life?
I recommend it highly. Try it, Jack.
Oh, I've done without it for 40 years. You look handsome in that uniform, Billy.
Why don't you enlist, Jack?
If we get into the war, I will. No. This round's on me, soldier boy.
Well, it's about time. See, darling? It's just as it was the night we met.
Something's wrong.
What are you talking about?
If this is the night we met, where's Norman?
Norman?
It was Norman who brought me here. I was his date, remember?
Well...
And you're in uniform. This can't be July 30th, 1939. You didn't enlist till August of 1940.
Well, what's the difference?
Look at the calendar over the bar. What does it say? Tell me.
December 6th, 1941.
Tomorrow is Pearl Harbor.
Well, what's the difference if we pick up our lives on December the 6th, 1941, or July 30th, 1939?
We were here that night. I remember.
So do I.
I remember everybody who was in this place.
Well, what's to remember? You can see them.
There's Jack Morrissey behind the bar. Norman isn't here. He wasn't then either.
Zelda?
No, listen. There's Tommy Burke, and Fred Novak, and Bert Ullman, and Jacqueline Myers, and Kitty, and Edith.
Of course.
And all of them are dead today.
They can't be dead today. Here they are.
I don't mean December 6th, 1941.
I mean now. The boys, every one of them was killed in the war. The girls. Jackie died in childbirth. Kitty was killed in an accident. Edith had an operation and she never recovered.
What does this have to do with...
Don't you see? It won't be different. It'll be all the same. We'll do it the same way again.
No, Zelda, no. We'll make it different.
How?
This time we'll know better.
Why? How will we know better? We'll have forgotten. I'm starting to forget already.
Zelda, don't be afraid.
I can't help it. Look at this place. It's the place of the dead.
Don't say
the
that.
The dead. Everything is dead here. All these people are dead now. The music is dead. The building is dead. And if we stay here, we'll be dead too.
No. This is where we can start a new life.
Let's get out of here.
How can you say dead? Can't you see everybody? Can't you hear the music?
No. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. I'm in an old, battered, broken-down building. The ceiling is going to cave in any minute. The walls are ready to collapse.
Why do I hear it? Why do I see it? Why is it so real to me?
Because you need it.
All right. You need it, too.
No. No, I'm not afraid to live, to grow.
Where are you going?
Home. Please, come with me.
Home? I'm home now.
They're tearing down the building. Do you want to stay and die?
I'm going to stay and live.
Goodbye, Bill.
Zelda. Zelda.
Hey, you! Bring it up all! Hold it! Let's come in the door in that building!
Wait! Wait, my husband's inside! He's in there!
Hey, say, lady!
No! Somebody go in and get him!
No, nobody can go in there now, lady! Look!
Oh, my God, no!
They never found his body. But then again, they never found the bodies of anyone else inside the place either. All the people who were in Jack Morrissey's the night of December 6th, 1941. Maybe Morrissey's is a state of mind. After all, doesn't everyone have a private Jack Morrissey's of his very own? I'll retreat to mine for just a few moments and then return to reality.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
From KOIN in Portland, my name's Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. The nation's unemployment rate is expected to show a drop today, but government spokesmen already are passing the word not to read too much into the new figures. Students seeking summer jobs are distorting them. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It's widely expected jobless figures will be down when they're announced this morning. But those figures may give a false sign of more economic recovery than actually was experienced in June. Spokesmen say a drop of as much as 0.7% could mean nothing. Senate Banking Committee Chairman William Proxmire explains, each year the Labor Department seasonally adjusts its June unemployment figures downward to minimize the impact of summer workers, mainly students, on the unemployment rate. 9.2% of the nation's workforce was reported jobless in May. Sales of new cars last month were up an estimated 8% over May, the strongest sales performance in 11 months. Industry spokesmen point out, however, sales figures still were 10 to 11% below those of June 1974. For the second month in a row, consumer spending rose, as indicated by retail sales reported by the nation's major chain stores. Sears Roebuck and Company, the largest chain, reported June sales up 2.2% from a year ago. Other chains reported gains of about 10%. President Ford signed a new housing bill, considerably watered down from the first version he vetoed. CBS News White House correspondent Bob Schieffer has that story.
The legislation the president signed is a much more modest proposal than the first housing legislation Congress sent to the White House. Mr. Ford vetoed the original bill, and the legislation he signed today did not contain the provisions he objected to in the first bill. Basically, the legislation Mr. Ford signed today expands the government's mortgage purchasing authority by $10 billion. That means the government will be able to continue subsidizing home mortgages and, in fact, will be able to expand that program, a program which makes it possible for homeowners to borrow money to purchase houses at lower rates than would be otherwise possible. In signing the bill today, Mr. Ford said the housing industry is already beginning to recover from its severe slump. He said the new legislation will help that recovery along. Bob Schieffer, CBS News, the White House.
And CBS News continues following this message.
In Philadelphia, Thomas Jefferson writes a Declaration of Independence. In London, George III promises the rebels a smart blow. In New York, Sir William Howe's invasion fleet arrives in force. It's all in a special edition of Time magazine devoted to the world and the week of July 4th, 1776. You are there as a British naval squadron is repulsed at Charlestown, South Carolina, and as Abigail Adams demands rights for women in the special 1776 issue of Time magazine. It's the one with Thomas Jefferson on the cover. On sale now.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Water continues to rise over vast areas of northwestern Minnesota and eastern North Dakota. The sugar beet crop loss alone, according to experts, could top $120 million. Minnesota Governor Wendell Anderson, who flew over the flood area, called it the worst natural disaster he's seen.
The fields are totally underwater. And what's even worse, there are some areas here that haven't been hit, that will be hit, because the water is moving north and northwest. And so it just, I'm sure there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars worth of damage to farmers and homeowners and businessmen in this area. It's the worst natural disaster that they've had here in at least 100 years.
Wendell Anderson, Governor of Minnesota. More in a moment.
Summertime is a rotten time to catch a cold. You miss so much. Then remember, 6 or 3 or 1, and take Contac. To keep medication working in your system up to 12 continuous hours against sneezing, runny nose, and congestion, you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 Contac capsule. Just 1. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin. Contac doesn't. 6 or 3 or 1. Take Contac only as directed.
Give your cold to Contac.
Contac, number one cold medicine in the whole world.
New York's Governor Hugh Carey late Wednesday night warned against over-optimism and urged everyone to pray a tentative agreement to ease the budget pinch on New York City will get through the state legislature. Mayor Abraham Beam said an Albany meeting set the formula for the city to gain $300 million worth of additional taxing authority. Observers say that could mean reinstatement of some 19,000 city workers laid off last Tuesday for lack of funds. New York City secured a court injunction against the Wildcat Sanitationmen strike that has left an estimated 35,000 tons of garbage piled on city curbs. About 100 of the normal 800 garbage trucks are expected to be working this morning. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
The governor's office has torpedoed a plan to sign legislation to permit students to sit in on higher education collective bargaining sessions. Aides to Governor Bob Straub indicate the bill may be vetoed. Straub's executive assistant, Keith Burns, canceled the signing ceremony set for yesterday afternoon. In a meeting attended by legislators who supported the bill and reporters, Burns said he would support a veto of the measure. The bill would allow three students from each state college or university to sit in on the bargaining sessions between the faculty and the state system of higher education. The students could express options but could not vote. The Committee to Build the Mount Hood Freeway Transitway says it plans to continue the battle to get the controversial freeway through southeast Portland built. Governor Straub has asked that the proposed freeway be removed from the federal highway system and funds allocated for it used elsewhere. The manager of the Portland Chamber of Commerce for Economic Development, Keith Going, said members of the Freeway Committee met early yesterday. He said legal counsel for the group is studying a possible challenge to Straub's action. The committee will meet July 9th to hear the opinion of the attorney, Ferris Booth. The election at Seaside has been invalidated, and the City Budget Committee will decide within the next 2 weeks what to do about it. In the election, voters rejected by a 2-to-1 margin a two-year $394,000 serial levy to balance the city budget. City Manager Burton Lowe said the election was ruled invalid because ballots were not secret. He said the ballots were improperly printed with both ballot and stub numbers, making it possible to identify who cast a given vote. Only stubs of ballots should be numbers. A Multnomah County Circuit Court jury has found 25-year-old Reggie Eugene Smallwood guilty of murder for the stabbing death of an Oregon City woman on a southeast Portland street April 1st. The jury deliberated less than 90 minutes before reaching its unanimous verdict. Judge James Ellis ordered a pre-sentence investigation. Smallwood was convicted of the slaying of 19-year-old Deborah Sue Warwick, with whom he'd been living. Prosecutor Wendell Berkland introduced testimony that the killing occurred after Miss Berkland attempted to end their relationship. Berkland fled with Miss Warwick's daughter. The baby was found unharmed at Woodland. The defense contended Smallwood suffered from mental defect and was not responsible for his actions. The executive vice president of the American Plywood Association says the industry is on the road to recovery. Speaking in Portland, Bronson Lewis said the industry has begun to recover from the market woes of 1974 and early 1975. And for a pair of initiatives, a race to collect enough valid signatures to make it on the Washington ballot in November is close. The initiatives in question would restore the death penalty and impose a 12% corporate profits tax. The weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area, slight chance of showers and periods of clearing tonight and Thursday. Partly cloudy on the 4th. Lows both nights in the mid-50s, a little warmer days, highs in the mid-70s Thursday, near 80 Friday. Winds northwest, 5 to 14 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rain, 20% tonight and Thursday, and 10% Thursday night. Currently in Portland, it's cloudy. The temperature is 59. Relative humidity is 72%. Wind from the northwest at 8 miles per hour. And the barometer reads 30.12 and falling. That's KOIN News at 12:09. This is Alan Archer. ¶¶